What do you know? We're back. It's two in a row. It's like we're totally back in the business of doing no business. No business whatsoever. So how have y'all been doing on that naked egg taco diet? I think I spent all last episode calling it a naked egg chalupa. To be honest, it's just too much work to even open up a new tab and see at which point I was less correct. So how are we doing? I practice what I preach, so I've been out there in the streets at least a few days a week plowing through these naked tacos. I don't know if you follow me on Instagram, which you should, BorderBossRIP, you probably saw some of my handiwork. I discovered that sausage was an option. It's not hidden. Somehow it just escaped my attention. But what's weird is that once you select sausage, so I get sausage and steak. That's a lot of powerful meat. But once you select that, the nacho cheese and sour cream disappear. I don't know what connects those circumstances, but that happened three times at three separate locations. So I know it's got to be a mandate that if some dipshit asks for sausage, you have to teach him a lesson. But anyway, each time I suck down one of those slimy bad boys, it adds like 30 reps to my deadlift without even showing up. So technically, I'm deadlifting right now. I have a huge backlog of deadlifts that need to be achieved, and I might actually die before I even finish this set. You definitely will. But anyway, last week I was in a real hurry to force my way back into your homes, and I forgot a bunch of stuff, and I think I'm just going to leave some of it forgotten. A lot of it was viral video content and stuff like that, and I don't want to dismiss you if you're one of my friends who sends me cool links, because I still love that. I still love interacting with you. Even if I forget to talk about it here, my brain just isn't good anymore. I still probably remember your face, so please keep sending me fun links. I'll do what I can. But anyway, there was some talk about a spicy Pop Rocks burrito that a lot of people were saying was disgusting, but I want a packet of those spicy Pop Rocks. I'll make it worth your while, borderbosseternal@gmail.com. I'm super excited about that. Lyft and Uber just showed up in my town. We're at the end of the line for that stuff, so I guess now I can get their taco mode, where they'll drive you to Taco Bell, which is a thing, I guess. There was a sick gunfight at a Taco Bell last week. Someone tried to rob the most heavily armed staff that I've ever heard of, and they just emptied their employee Glocks right into them like it was, you know, Rambo 6. And now they're finally opening a bunch of boozy Taco Bell cantinas, mostly in New York City, and I don't care about New York City, but apparently some of them might splash up this way, and I'm very interested in getting a nice headachey sugar cocktail buzz under that soft purple glow. So I can't wait for that. But let's call that Viralupa for the week, because I want to discuss something I forgot last week that actually matters to me, which is the report of the week. If you don't know about the report of the week, you should head over to YouTube and check him out. It's all one word, the report of the week. He's an ageless boy. He could be 13 or 33 years old, but at some point in his life, he killed and ate a vinyl siding salesman because he just owns and wears an enormous collection of suits. Like, he has a portal to a men's warehouse from 1989. Just about every video, he's wearing a suit, full suit with a tie and a dress shirt. He's got his hair slicked back with some kind of ancient can of smell-em. And I learned from a secret message board I'm on that young people sometimes refer to him as the food review vampire. And I endorse that. It's a little mean, but it's too good. I would live up to that name if someone called me that. So, you know, Mike from Virtual Pros and Kissing Contest hit me to this boy a long time ago, and we both became fans during his early years when he almost exclusively reviewed bottled water and energy drinks, very sincerely. I know that's kind of like not a big deal anymore, but back then it's still pretty new, especially because of his appearance. He was pretty definitively a child back then. He was still in school, and he'd occasionally make these, you know, really sincere videos that I'm absolutely not mocking, where he'd discuss how difficult it was to attend classes dressed as a tiny funeral director. And he made a couple of deeper videos about getting bullied between some strange in-depth discussions about bus routes that he preferred for getting around town. And he has kind of like an old man's, I guess, New York City accent. It's really something. You gotta see him. Now he's kind of a minor league YouTube celebrity. He's got a couple videos that are scraping up towards a million views, I think. But he's never really changed his approach. He's never courted the limelight that I know of. He just does what he does, which is drive to Domino's in a dead man's suit and describes the flavor of pizza into a camera with no guile, no irony, no nothing. He just does it. Now he's quite a few years older than when I started watching him, but he still looks exactly the same, just stretched out to an adult man's height, like a goldfish in a bowl, except it's a small boy in a man's suit. But, you know, it's amazingly he eats like dozens of fast food meals every week with extra large cups of Mountain Dew at every meal and still weighs like 100 pounds, including the suit, which only bolsters my suspicion that he might be a cryptid. Anyway, he recently made a video called The Taco Bell Conundrum, where he talks about the fact that sometimes he goes there and receives an uneven taco experience. His complaint is, you know, sometimes you order a taco and you don't get enough meat. And he does this little gonzo documentary filming of the faulty taco. It looks pretty normal to me. It's completely filled with stuff. It just didn't get a lot of meat. But he says that that's causing him to go to Del Taco more often, which is preposterous. That's crazy. But then he pans over a little bit and he shows the fact that they also sold him short on the soda. And that's where the shit really lights up. He interrupts it and takes a sip from his goblet of water that he always has. He interrupts the footage of this 2/3 full cup to say that it chilled him to the bone. And it chilled me to the bone too, because now we have to talk about me and soda. In fact, we need to talk about soda in some depth. And I think maybe it deserves its own section, so let's do it right. I don't have any good ideas for it, and I'm definitely going to use up all my fuel immediately. But here it is, the rarest micro-podcast in Border Boss history. Darkness on the edge of Gaseosa Town. Now wait, let's call it Welcome to Aspartame Country. Phenylketonurix Anonymous. Actually, you know what? I can make this theme song work if I call it Diet Wild Cherry Raffer. Cherry Rafferty, this town's only podcast where I talk about delicious diet soda and the fact that I've been a dedicated diet soda user for most of the long years of my life. Diet Wild Cherry Pepsi, that's my preferred biotoxin, but I'll take regular Diet Pepsi or even like a Coke Zero if it's the apocalypse and options are limited. I'd like to take a few minutes to really define the nature of this relationship, my relationship to soda, because I've heard from others that it's a little unusual, that my throughput is unusual. So here we go. This would be a typical work day for me back when I worked in a normal office and had to drive into work. On a just completely average day, I'd drive into work around 8:30 and I'd stop by my favorite gas station with the soda pump, big soda pump with all the flavors, and I would get myself a 44-ouncer until that place wised up and started offering the blessed 52-ouncer. And they're the same price because of some promotion. We don't have 7-Elevens around here, so that super ultra big gulp, that's not really a feature of this landscape, or I'd be right there, trust me. Anyway, I'd pound that 44 to 52 ounces of Diet Pepsi on my way into work, and then fill that cup back up from a couple of 2-liter bottles that I tried to keep in the work fridge. And I'd probably fill it back up 2 or 3 more times that morning. And then around noon, I gotta leave the office, you know? I gotta leave for lunch. People who stay at their desks and eat that grubby fridge salad or like a cup of something, yogurt or whatever, they're just husks. They're total forfeits. I leave work. I leave work and I have to head out to a place where they have refills, like say Taco Bell. And then I sit there reading a book by myself because everyone else is eating back in the office. And then I'll get probably two or three more full cups of soda. I'll just sit there drinking and reading until I finally just head back to the office like, you know, a half hour late. And then whatever cup makes it to my office by then, that gets another 2 or 3 more refills throughout the day from the fridge. Or if I run out of the fridge soda, then I go out to the soda machine, which I usually kick. Before the end of the week, that soda machine isn't given any more Diet Pepsi until they refill it. And if I kicked all of that, then I just fucking leave work again. You know, let's not kid around. I leave work and I go buy another couple 2 liters. Like 6 2-liters, and I just pack the work fridge, you know, because only God can judge me. And then at some point, I have to give up on the pretense of doing any more work, and I have to head home. I finally leave the office. And normally, I'll stop on the way home at that same gas station, get another 44-ounce soda or 52-ounce soda, and that just disappears into the heaven of my body as I drive. And then I fill that cup 3 or 4 more times at home. There's You know, usually 6 2-liter bottles of Diet Wild Cherry Pepsi in my fridge. Even right now, there's like 8 2-liter bottles just sitting in the basement. And I'll get to that in a minute. So yeah, normal night, another 3 or 4 more sodas. Unless I have some kind of involved activity that keeps my mouth away from my demons, like, you know, band practice or digging holes in the backyard or something. And that's not even my final form. Because on the days when I stay up till 2 a.m. computering frantically for some reason or another, my power level exceeds all safety thresholds, and I just put a straw into a 2-liter bottle every half hour or so and go for the gold. All told, not including the numerous coffees that I tend to drink, any bonus iced tea or workout water, bottles of beer, wine, if I'm trying to party, the total is easily over 550 real-ass ounces of soda a day, which adds up to something like 4.5 gallons, like no problem. No problem I'm going to drink 4.5 gallons of soda a day. That's just a completely normal day of soda for me, and that's been normal for me for a really long time. I started drinking diet soda as a fat teen, kidding myself into thinking that was going to be the difference, and I'm now 96 years old, so that's like 8 full decades of fairly involved and rigorous aspartamesmanship. Actually, a few years ago, they switched away from aspartame to sucralose, and then they reissued the aspartame version as a special edition, so you could choose which very slightly different chemical aftertaste is going to accompany your day-long headache. And believe me, I have a preference. You gotta have a preference. When they change the formula, rock my world, because that's how it is when you take something this mundane and make it like a fundament, like a fulcrum of your existence. I've taken breaks in the past. I think it's pretty clear that I most likely have a problem, but, you know, on the rare occasions when I leave my house and visit some kind of dystopian hell world where the diet soda doesn't flow like water from a tap the way it does here, Europe, eat shit Europe, or if I just get the itch to address the possible wiffle ball sized tumor that might be rattling around somewhere in my body from multiple decades of reliance on a sketchy industrial byproduct sweetener where, like, the white papers and FDA reports are usually just a big shrug emoji. So yeah, I'm back there again. I decided maybe I'll put it on hold for a little while. I didn't do it sensibly. I didn't think it through and plan it out or anything like that. I just, first I went out and bought barrels of Diet Pepsi that I was going to need for the week. And then decided I was going to take a break. So that soda's all still in my basement right now. There's like 8 full 2-liter bottles that just sing out to me like a siren. I can practically feel their presence in the basement like a glow, like a heat source. And it's very challenging. It's quite challenging. But now it's been a couple months. I took about a month and a half and just drank mostly seltzer. I drank all those fancy polar seltzers, the good ones and the crummy ones. This is the time of year where they come out with all the novelty flavors. So there was like unicorn and Yeti and Mothman or something like that. And they all basically taste like Smarties. But yeah, for a month and a half, just seltzer and coffee. And now I'm drinking lots and lots of coffee, which is probably something I should examine. So yeah, this month I just figured, you know, as a new father and a figure skater, I should take my health a little seriously for a little while. So I thought I'd put it on hold. But I've lapsed. I've come back. I've decided that when I go to Taco Bell and Panera and places like that, food doesn't really taste good to me without the Diet Pepsi. My glands and organelles are so in sync with the hum of that dark nectar that I don't even process calories properly if I'm not tag-teaming it with, you know, a 44-ouncer. I probably haven't fully and properly digested a calorie in like 2 whole months now. Plus, it gives me something to do when I'm out of the house. When I pull into the gas station, fill up my car with gas, put the cap back on, just to get back into my car and drive off that lot without going inside and filling up that cup, that feels really bizarre. You know, there's times when I'm just out there accomplishing nothing with my day, just roaming around pointlessly. I put 79 cents down on that counter and then I'm living again. I'm out in the world and something's happening, something delicious, cool and refreshing. That's why I've let the haunting aroma of NutraSweet lure me back on occasion, which may be a failure. Maybe it's a stumble. But I don't want to look at it through that prism. I don't want to talk about this as a failure, as regret or shortcomings or humility. At least not my humility. That's not what I want Diet Wild Cherry Rafferty to be about, you know? DWCR is about perseverance and revenge and headaches. So you tell me, first of all, is this even an unusual habit? I don't know what kids get up to these days. Maybe they're all just drinking can after can of Monster Energy, and they're all like, you know, processing gallons and gallons of cheap industrial fluid all day long. Maybe that's not a big deal anymore. But do you do anything to this magnitude? Do you drink, inhale, inject, roll around in anything in this quantity? Does some all-pervasive background habit that people might not even notice give you this pinky-in-the-air opinion that you hold as life-or-death gospel, like which soda fountain in town squirts out the best-tasting soda and which one is just poisoned dishwater? And, you know, which vessel at the grocery store, can or 2-liter bottle or 1-liter bottle, is filled with the disenfranchised, unwanted byproduct soda at the end of the line? Which one is the one that you avoid because it's the bargain basement stuff, even though it's the exact same brand, product, and everything like that? Do you go toe-to-toe with me on this habit? Let me know. BorderBossEternal@gmail.com. BorderBossRIP on Twitter. Tell me it's going to be all right, or show me what you got. Anyway, this whole micro-podcast, this whole thing was basically only in service of discussing the report of the week. I see you, man, and I'm with you. You know, a 2/3 full cup of soda in the drive-thru is basically a war crime. It's close when you go to Wendy's and they give you like the half-full chili, the cold half-full chili. That's pretty bad. But when you get the half-full soda, that's really something. I kind of lose my mind. It's like the greatest injustice because, you know, once you've gone through that drive-thru and you've accepted the establishment's offer, it's kind of like a contract because you've already moved 8 or 9 feet forward in your car. Another car jams up immediately behind you because they've been waiting all day, and you basically have no recourse. You can park, you can get out and go in and try to rectify it in person, but then you've just blown the entire enterprise. The whole reason that you tried not to get out of your car in the first place, whatever reason that might be, that's your business. And even a dedicated soda man like me knows that you don't give off any particular air of eminence when you march into that place demanding 4 additional ounces of rat killer. That doesn't mean it's not a completely heinous and unforgivable act. And it makes me want to do something. I have this resource inside of me. I have 4 to 5 gallons of highly pressurized fluid, which, if you believe the urban legends, it's already probably transmuted into arsenic and formaldehyde as soon as it touched my stomach acid. And I want to sort this out. I want to use it to sort this out. I want my body to become a cleansing laser of foamy black justice. I want to point myself like a righteous, upbraiding water jet at the scumbag fat cat criminals who charge large and deliver a sliver, a giant gushing eraser that leaves a sticky, dripping void of death. And now that I've said it all out loud for the first time, I realize how disgusting it sounds, and I'm sorry. Order.